and welcome to Weddings Unveiled, a podcast for your wedding planning process. I'm your host, Leah Longbreak. We know how exciting and stressful planning the big day can be, and we're here to help, providing you with information and advice from industry insiders and those with firsthand experience. On today's episode, we have Barb Stitzer, founder of Northeast Ohio Weddings Magazine. She'll share with us her personal wedding journey and how the discrimination she faced with her interfaith marriage led her to create the magazine. Barb, welcome to Weddings Unveiled. I'm so happy to have you here today.
I am so happy to be here today.
And so we're obviously going to talk about Northeast Ohio Weddings Magazine and how you started it. But what really led to it, if I'm correct, is your own wedding journey.
Yes. When I was about to get married, and this is almost 25 years ago in very liberal Southern California, I couldn't find anyone. My husband and I are different religions, and I couldn't find anyone to marry us. It was so hard. I mean, we finally found someone, but I was like, it was just like a non-perfection and an otherwise like perfect, amazing, wonderful planning session. And when I got here to Ohio 24 years later, I kept on meeting people who weren't being treated well when they were getting married. And in particular, there was a girl who was attached to her wheelchair by her throat. She had been in a terrible accident. And I don't even know what it's called, but she had an attachment to her throat, to her wheelchair. And she wanted to get married to her fiance on the same rooftop that they had met on. And they didn't have access to disabled access to the rooftop. And so they're like, hey, you know, it's okay. We have a dumb waiter. We'll just kind of pull that thing out of your neck, run you up the stairs. You just hold your breath and we'll put you in the dumb waiter. We'll put the chair in the dumb waiter and it'll be fine. And she's like, it doesn't work that.
No. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You know, and things like that just kept on happening, you know, and, you know, I'm a photographer and I shoot models a lot. And one of my models' moms was, you know, she was larger. I mean, she was probably a size 24, which is probably like a 28 to 30 in wedding sizes. And, you know, she had her mom and her sister and her daughters and her fiance's daughter. And they went out to brunch and they went to this boutique and they got in and they were like, okay, so who's the bride? And she's like, I'm the bride. And they're like, oh no, you're not the bride. Yeah.
Rude.
And she's like, well, you know, can I just try on? Oh no, you'll break the dress. Well, I won't sip it. Oh no. She was crying. Her daughter was standing there like all embarrassed. And I was like, you know, you can't do this, you know? So I just thought I'm going to start a magazine that is diverse and inclusive and happy for everybody. And that's what I did. So my first magazine came out in 2019, and it had the first person of color by herself on the cover of a wedding magazine in Ohio ever.
Wow.
And then this next year, I had the second person of color on the cover by herself of a wedding magazine ever. We've had people in wheelchairs and wedding gowns. We had a Down syndrome woman walking in our show. I had a 400-pound man and a 400-pound wife walking in our show. I had a couple that had been married for 68 years, and they walked to the end of the runway and kissed.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It was. Like, everybody went nuts. And it's so gratifying. It's so beautiful. I had the first person in hijab and a wedding dress. You know, all of these people get married, and all of these people deserve to be treated like they are queens and kings and special. That's what the magazine does. And all of our wonderful advertisers and vendors, they believe in it, and they are so kind and accommodating and fun with everybody. And it's just this happy, happy business. And so many brides and grooms have come up to me and, you know, like, so thankful that, you know, like, maybe they're gay or they're trans or they're like me and we're a different religion, different cultures. They're like, you know, Barb, you know, I feel so safe using your vendors because I know that they're going to accept me.
They're open. Yeah. Well, no, let's go back, because you said that you and your husband are of different faiths and you wanted to have an interfaith ceremony back when you were having your wedding in California, but you had a hard time finding an officiant that was supportive of that, correct?
Yes.
Walk us through that whole process.
I have to say, I had a planner and my planner did take care of it eventually. But, you know, because I'm Jewish and my husband is kind of basic Christian, I would call it, there was just no one who wanted to work together in this. You know, they wanted us to change religions, change classes. And we both felt really strongly that we fell in love with each other because we are each other and we didn't want to change each other.
So eventually your planner did help you find, did you have two different officiants, one that was of Christian faith and one of Jewish, or did you find someone that was able to just find a way to acknowledge both?
No, we found a rabbi and a minister and they were best friends. And oh.
See, we can't coexist, people.
Yeah. And they did it together and it was beautiful and amazing.
What was the rest of your planning like? Was that the only major hiccup you had?
I have to say, and I always say this and people look at me funny, but my wedding was the best wedding I've ever had or been to. And it's the only wedding I've ever had, but I've been to a lot of weddings. It was perfect and amazing. It was, I'm from LA, I'm from California. So we got married at the Ritz-Carlton Laguna Niguel. And my husband, you know, sometimes men want to be involved in things and my husband doesn't want to be involved in anything, which is fine with me because, you know, I get to plan it how I like it. But he insisted on having a brass band and not a DJ. And he also insisted on having it outside. And, you know, it was on a cliff above the ocean. But that day, there was a 7-state power outage.
Oh, gosh.
And so everyone's, you know, all the brides that were in the ballrooms, their lights were out, their DJ, you know, they didn't have any dancing music. And I didn't even know that the power was out until we had like this tent that had a chandelier in it. And I was like, that's odd, the chandelier isn't on. And my husband looked at me and he's like, Barb, the power's been out for like 6 hours.
You were just so happy nothing else mattered.
Yeah, it was amazing. I'm extremely happily married. I was engaged 7 times.
Oh my gosh.
I know a lot about that side of it.
Wow, 7 times. So your husband was the 8th and the lucky one.
He was the 7th and the lucky one.
Oh, 7. Lucky 7.
Yeah.
So now you're in Northeast Ohio. Mm-hmm. And you decided to start the magazine a lot based off of your experience with people not wanting to be open to diversity and inclusivity. And what has been the feedback since you've started the magazine?
We've had an incredible amount of great feedback. I mean, of course, you know, there are people who have different ideals than we do, and that's absolutely fine. But the vast majority of our vendors and brides and grooms are just so thrilled that we filled this niche.
Working with different vendors, how do you approach making sure that they are a vendor that will be open and inclusive for other couples?
I'm really open about it. You know, this is kind of interesting. When you don't, I don't think I'm going to say this well, but I've spent my life, quote, passing, end quote, for being just like, you know, any religion. And when I was little, someone sprayed a swastika on my house. My dad washed it off or painted over it. And then they did it again. And they did it every Saturday night for like a year. And they put Jew on it really big, you know. And I think like if you're someone who, quote, passes, you miss a lot of prejudice, or maybe you see a lot more prejudice just from people who are just kind of saying words without looking at you and going, oh, you might be one of those words. The person that I dated before my husband was extremely prejudiced and I didn't know it. And she didn't find out that I was I was Jewish until, and I didn't know because we dated for 10 years. So my parents knew that he was not my religion. And he, you know, he came to temple with us and I went to church with them. And I just thought, you know, that's the way it is. But she, when the rabbi came in for the rehearsal, she said, "Why is he here?" And I said, "Oh, well, the rabbi's going to be here and the priest will be there." And she's like, "What?" And I was like, "What?" And she was someone that I called mom. You know, mm-hmm. we were very close. And she's like, "You filthy kike. How dare you come and sully my blood and my bloodline? And how can you?" And I was standing there with my mouth open. My fiance walked in and he was like, "What?" And I'm like, "What?" And he goes, "Oh my gosh, she knows." Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That is traumatic. Like someone that you've known for 10 years.
10 years.
One, he didn't tell his mother that you are of Jewish faith. And two, for her to react like that, you dodged a bullet not being a part of that family, that's for sure. But oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's painful.
Maybe the magazine is me healing these kind of wounds and hoping that this never happens to anyone again. I see people as people, you know, people are people.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. And I love that you mentioned that maybe it's a form of your healing, but the best way to, I think, to heal is by helping. You helping others is also going to help you.
Yes.
Spreading the goodness.
I think so. I like that.
Now that you've been a part of weddings and planning your own wedding and working in the industry for years, are you seeing, though, more acceptance now?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, you know, like so much is changing. And I have to say, I don't think that people went, "Oh, you know, I'm going to offend someone," you know, but now people are really aware. Yes, I am going to offend someone if I go in that direction. And you can't. You know, everybody needs to learn a new way of speaking and a new way of thinking. I feel like the world is changing and it's changing very quickly. Sometimes my daughters and I will be like, I'll be like, "Hey, texting was in your lifetime." And I want to say to them, no prejudice happened in your lifetime.
Well, I hope that we're all able to say that for the younger generations.
Me too.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Burn the Boats from Evergreen Podcasts. I interview political leaders and influencers, folks like award-winning journalist Soledad O'Brien and conservative columnist Bill Kristol, about the choices they confront when failure is not an option. I won't agree with everyone I talk to, but I respect anyone who believes in something enough to risk everything for it. Because history belongs to those willing to burn the boats. Episodes are out every other week wherever you get your podcasts.
What are some trends that our couples listening can look forward to and should consider going into later 2021, but into 2022 wedding season?
Well, of course, smaller weddings are becoming very trendy, A, because of COVID, and B, sometimes people start going, you know, I know, like, I'm from LA and my husband's from Chicago, and he's like, "Well, how many people are you inviting?" And I was like, "Oh, like 150. And he's like, "Well, I'm inviting 150, you know, and sometimes it becomes competitive.
300 person wedding. Wow.
Yeah. You know, those were the days, you know. I think now people are starting to go, I want the people that I know and love now, and I'm going to know and love forever, as opposed to, you know, my best friend's sister's niece's son-in-law's babysitter.
Right.
That is a huge trend. I think that outdoor weddings, even in Northeast Ohio, are becoming more and more popular. You know, I've seen like tent rentals going up a lot. I think barn weddings have been really huge for a long time. And I see lots of people shifting from that. The average wedding spend in Ohio is $28,000, which is easily a good down payment on a house.
Oh, I can attest. I was up there and I kept my wedding small.
There's just so many little small fun things that you can order and get and personalize and have and give. And, you know, like it is, it's overwhelming.
Yeah. And you have to consider your venue and all the costs with that. And these are the big ticket things, your venue, your photographer. Like, we were big about photography and videography, so we put a little extra into that. It all adds up, and you have to consider all the, when you just see the initial blanket amount of like a venue cost or a photographer, but you don't consider all the little tiny details, the tips, the gratuities, mm-hmm. the taxes. I bring it up like on the show, I feel like every other episode, but like stamps, like the different things that you don't consider, but they end up being costly.
True.
Factoring gifts for your bridal party.
Or out-of-town people, like if you want to put a gift basket in an out-of-town person's wedding or hotel room for the wedding.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing, it just gets crazy.
You know, with hotel rooms, what's your tip, your advice for couples if they want to do hotel blocks for their guests?
Well, I say do it. We did a lot of rooms at the Ritz-Carlton Laguna Niguel, and it was really expensive, but it was so awesome. It was so nice having everybody there. Like the night before, we did a rehearsal dinner, and then my girls and I went underneath the tent, and they were putting up the chandelier, and we were laying on our backs under the chandelier, and we were like laughing and remembering things. And, you know, I say if you can swing it, or even if you don't pay for everybody, you know, get the block so that everybody can get to know each other. That's another new thing. It's new-ish, but something that's really caught on this year is when people say, don't pick a side, just sit down because we are all family now. You know, if you spend a long weekend together before the actual wedding, you're going to get to know people on both sides. And it just makes it so much nicer down the line. It isn't divided. It's all together.
Yeah. I mean, if you have the money, obviously you can cover others' hotel rooms, but I don't think most family and friends expect you to cover it. But as long as you have like rooms blocked off so they know that they can get a room, obviously by a certain date, like keep in mind that hotels will make a cutoff date so they don't get screwed over. but yeah, like I agree with you. Like we did hotel room blocks at the Westin in downtown Cleveland, and we just paid for our room, you know, obviously. I stayed the night before with my grandma, and then the room got converted over to being like our suite. And yeah, that was so precious. I'm so glad I have, you know, that memory of my time with her frolicking around Cleveland, you know, and then spending the night like getting a hang out with Graham and her keeping my nerves calm. And but yeah, so like the night of, you know, the wedding, when we came back to the hotel room, there were, I don't even know how many friends and family end up staying there, but we ended up having an after party in the hotel lobby, and it was so fun.
Oh, we did too. That's so funny.
Did you?
Yeah,
it's just so fun and relaxed, and you know, you're just sipping drinks and just all the planning is done and you're just with your family and friends, and highly recommend doing it.
Absolutely.
What's your final piece of advice for couples planning their wedding?
I think it's really important to pick one or two things that you're not going to budge on, and each of you have them, and each of you give in to the other person. You know, it's really important that you kind of are there for each other that way anyway. Like my husband and I are like, we're not allowed to be mad at the same time. So, you know, like for me, the photographer, you know, I'm a photographer. So that was very important for me. And for my husband, as I said, being outdoors and with the brass band was very important to him. And, you know, you have to just go. Things are going to happen. Things are going to go wrong on the day of your wedding. But so what?
Sometimes they make the best stories.
Yeah. You know, it makes a great story. And it's not, you're not just gunning for this one day. You're in the long haul for the rest of your lives. So let the small stuff go. Enjoy the process. If you're not enjoying it, you just need to take a step back, sit down, and just relax. And then come back to another time, because this is a wonderful time in your life. And it should be a wonderful time in your life.
Absolutely.
If it's not, don't do it.
Right?
Yeah. And if you're going, oh, he'd be so perfect if only, oh, I would love it so much if only, he's not the right guy for you. Get rid of him.
Did you have that moment? Because you said you've been engaged
many times.
You saw the red flags and said, nope, not doing it.
Yep.
Listen to your gut.
Yep.
All right. My final question for you is the fun one. I want to know, Barb, what is your all-time favorite wedding movie or movie that features a wedding?
Oh, okay. I don't know the name of it, but it was with Cameron Diaz and Julia Roberts.
Oh, My Best Friend's Wedding.
My Best Friend's Wedding. That was beautiful. I cry and I laugh every single time I watch it.
Do you have a favorite scene in the movie?
Oh, Cameron Diaz trying to sing. Yeah.
Oh, the karaoke scene.
Say a little prayer for you. She's singing that part.
It's so good. And I have to say with that movie, Julia Roberts' bridesmaid's dress is one of my favorite movie bridesmaid's dresses. That purple looked so chic and cool.
Oh, yeah.
Barb, how can we get more information on you and Northeast Ohio Weddings Magazine?
Well, you can email me at ido@neoweddingsmag.com or go on our website at northeastohioweddingsmagazine.com or our Instagram or Facebook at Northeast Ohio Weddings Magazine.
Barb, thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.